Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and we head into the round 12 byes, so we've got them for the next couple of weeks. But that means Thursday night footy for the next few weeks as well, which I absolutely love because I think the weekend is here just that little bit earlier and drink way too much before I have to go to work on Friday. We are talking the round 12 waiver wire pickups, trades, injuries, and we do have a special guest on the show, the very own Sam Porter, who will be talking the DPP changes for this week. But we welcome to you, Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing all right, Jono. Hello to the listeners out there. And Jono, you won't know this because Facebook hasn't told you, but it's actually my birthday this week. And the people in and around our circle will know that Mrs. Fizz is known for a few things, and one of them is not getting me the goddamn present that I want, ever. And I think it's the last 2 years, I've wanted a Batuta Advocate t-shirt. I'm a huge fan of the Batuta Advocate, and I assume most of our listeners are, because it's fantastic and very funny, and I just wanted a Batuta Advocate t-shirt. Simple enough, you would have thought. Except I've never received one in the 2 years I've been asking for one. And this year she's finally relented. She's like, okay, I'll get you the Batuta Advocate t-shirt. One problem, they've sold out. They're out of stock. I can't even get
out
one.
Out of stock.
What is going on? What is going on?
You asked one for two Christmases as well. You asked for last year and the year before. Still donuts.
And why don't she just ask for some donuts? And she said, well, what do you want? I don't know. There was no backup.
What about a slab of Batuta bitter?
Well, that's not a bad plan, actually. That was giant. Yeah. On the ball.
I'm trying to get my hands on it myself, but it's sold out bloody everywhere at the moment.
Yeah, anyway, so no t-shirt.
And he won't be going down the slide on Queen's Birthday Monday for the MND, but we do have one of the McLaughlin brothers here. That is Mr. Cam McLaughlin himself. Welcome to you.
Yeah, g'day, guys. I actually, I've got a note from the McLaughlin brothers, and I'm not allowed to say what or which McLaughlin it's from. And they've asked for anonymity, but they've asked if they need to take Dane Rampy out for a coffee. And I have no idea. It might be Hamish, might be Gillian. Don't know. My answer to that is probably. That's all I got.
Well, there's nothing better than having a coffee and having a dart at the same time, because we know he is smoking Dane Rampy, so maybe Gil likes to light up as well. Who knows? There's a photo for you. Gil having a start. That's right up there. But we are talking our top five things we noticed for this week. And what have you got there, Steve?
Well, the number one thing that just springs to mind, and it springs to mind every week, but I don't think I've ever mentioned it in my thing, is just the absolute replaceability of forwards. I think we mentioned heading into the draft season there was something like 350 players with forward status for your fantasy formats. But we didn't exactly... This is the thing. We don't know who it's going to be sometimes. Like there's so many players who are just going to come out of the woodwork with a role change or what have you. But the thing you got to do is recognize these players when they get the good roles or when they've got a nice block of matchups like we've just seen George Hewitt have. And then you got to ship them out for value. Upgrade, do a two-for-one, upgrade your midfield, do a two-for-one, upgrade your defense. Do whatever you want because these forwards just keep churning through. And I'll go through some names who we never suspected. Jed Godison. I know he got injured today, but he's been fantastic. Benny Ainsworth. Bailey Fritsch, Paul Ahern, Caleb Daniel, Ed Langdon, Zach Fish, all these players are absolutely usable. So you get these guys and you just damn well flip them because they just keep popping up and you can always use them in a good block of matches. As we see just every week, like I look at my waivers again this week and I could have listed five forwards. It's unbelievable. So I wanted to move into the second point, and that is one of the forwards, and that is Paul Ahern. Finally debuted. Thought it was a fantastic story, and he, you know, he played a ripping game first up. He had the 29 disposals and 92 Dream Team and 84 Supercoach. But I'm sort of torn. Do I want to pick him up or do I not want to pick him up? Because look, the 13 contested possessions, I really like it. The role, he was in the middle, he was playing on the wing, he was taking center bounces, he was there. But the other thing that worries me is Jed Anderson went down in the first like 10 minutes of the game, so there was that role available. And the other thing that worries me was that they were playing against literal witches' hats in the Brisbane Lions today. So they were scoring aplenty for North Melbourne. So for redraft, yes, I still think he's on my waiver list. I think, yes, you can pick him up, but I'm not playing him straight away. I just want to see how this bears out. And I'm also a little bit worried about the time on ground because he had 77% today, which is fine, but we know they were down a rotation, North Melbourne, for the whole match. So his game time will have been bumped up a little bit because of that. So got to grab him in keepers. I think I've had him since the start of the year on keepers. But for the redraft, yes, I think you can pick him up, but please see how that plays out. Number three, Rockliffe was doing absolutely nothing in the first half and then went on and shut down Tom Mitchell in the second half, as well as not score any fantasy points. Now, I know he was very popular among the salary cap formats because I picked up my phone on Saturday afternoon and it just exploded. It literally exploded in my hands with mentions. So I felt sorry for the traders because I can only imagine the knobs that came out of the woodwork to give him a bath. But he's in everyone's team. Like, you know, like what can you say? You got it wrong. We get things wrong. I picked him up in one of my salary cap teams. So anyway, the shocking thing for me was that Port Adelaide, the second highest Dream Team score, was 80. That was the second highest score someone put out for him in Dream Team. So I'm a bit worried about fantasy. It's Tasmania. It's a bit of a fantasy black hole down there. Maybe if they get some electricity one day, the lights will come on. Number four, Dustin Martin. I still think he's a great buy because you're buying him low, but I'm really worried about the tackle thing. Over the last 4 weeks, his total tackle count is 2. That is alarming, people. And how's this? In 8 matches this year, he's had 1 or less tackles. Is that not mind-blowing for a pure mid? Like,
I thought Lachie Neale was bad. Jeez.
That is unbelievable. And just lastly, Friday night footy is not terrible because of the Blues. The commentators are just shit-house.
That is true. But hey, in a couple of weeks, we get Gold Coast Suns and St Kilda, I think, or St Kilda and Carlton. So looking forward to that one.
On a Friday night?
Yep.
Hey.
During the buys.
I actually had BT on a chisel account today, and he said the word chisel 742 times.
There you are. St Kilda Carlton, Friday the 13th of July. So I don't know if that's a joke or what, but...
That's a bad omen, isn't it?
It certainly is. And what have you got for us there, Cam, please?
My five things that I noticed. The first one is Aaron Hall, just how important he's been to the Suns. I know he missed a couple of games because he was dropped to the kneeful, but he's come back and he's been playing off that half-back role and he's been doing it quite well. Has a lot of daring speed. But unfortunately, you know, doesn't have a shoulder. So he went down in this game pretty early with a shoulder injury, and you know the Suns really struggled against the Cats after that. They had no drive of the halfback, no one pushing the ball forward. The second one is the Lions. So they've been, hats off, I guess. They've been pretty competitive the entire year. In most of the games, they've gone down by a handful of points. In this one, even though half their list got injured, they were well beaten before anyone got injured. They were, to Fizz's point, they were witches' hats. Like, they were really, really bad today. It sucks for them that they've had a few injuries in that game as well, because I just don't know where to from there. It can only get worse. I've got grave fears for the Lions. Third one is time for JJK to stand up. So I don't know about everyone who's listening, or the Docs, or Mr. Porter, but he's on my waiver. JJK was dropped in my league because he's been performing so terribly throughout the year. But Darling goes down, and all of a sudden JJK stands up and whops 6. I think Darling's a good chance to miss a whole bunch of games. Didn't look so good. You know, definitely if he's on your waiver, go and grab him. He's going to be a bit of a ripper over the next few weeks. I mentioned it last week. So number four, Zaharakis, sort of playing that off the back of the pack role and getting a lot of kicks. They really missed him as soon as he went down. So his collarbone looked pretty much snapped in two. They're trying to play it down as a bit of just a soreness, but looks pretty bad. And as soon as he went down again, they didn't have that drive off the back of those packs, and the Tigers just overwhelmed them. It was just brutal. And the fifth one, you know, not something in the AFL, but Steve, you mentioned last week the moustache and the Harley. Look, I took a bite. I went for Harley Bennell off the waiver this week. It might have been a little bit early, but I thought, you know, I need a gun. My forward line is just absolutely bare. And yeah, he's gone down again in the waffle. With a calf soreness again, he's gone straight back onto my waiver wire. It was a good ride, you know, a good ride. But it's over. And that's my five.
Just on the JJK thing, do you think that was more a byproduct of playing the Saints, or is he back? Because we actually had people message us during the week saying, because I mentioned to pick up a West Coast forward. And people were saying JJK is on their waivers. And you know, they thankfully picked him up and played him. But is that something we can expect going forward, or was it just a matchup, do you think?
Oh, I think now with with Darling down, that he's going to be the central man. They were looking to Darling at every opportunity as the man inside 50. Like, he was the man. And JJK is coming off a limited preseason as well, so he was more that stay at home and not pushing up as well. For me,
yeah, that's absolutely it. So they're playing, from what I can tell, they're playing Darling as that sort of leading forward, so run towards forward, and gives JJK that opportunity to sit back and try and take a big contested mark. But just so happens that they've been targeting that run forward more so than JJK. Now that JJK is kind of, well, their only big forward, it's, you know, he's going to be doing whatever he wants. I reckon it'll be running forward, staying back. They might drop Lysette in, you know. I'd say JJK is going to be a good one for the next few weeks.
Well, they've got the bye this week, and then they come up against the Swans in round 13, so that'll be a really good test there for JJK and the Eagles. The things that I've noticed this week, the Dogs have just got no pressure, no run, and no desire whatsoever. Yes, they kicked the first three goals against the Demons on Saturday afternoon, but after that, it was all one-way traffic, and the Demons absolutely belted them. The Demons are hungry. They're looking towards the gun to get a flag this year, and I did a message in Facebook chat to a friend. I just said, they're one of the three teams I want to see in the grand final this year, because they're playing some really good fantasy football this year. And on the Demons, they've just got a great 1-2 counterpunch. If Tommy Mack doesn't get you, then Jesse Hogan certainly will. They Steve, you're pumping your hands up. You don't own him in any leagues that you're playing in this league this year.
Yes, I do.
Salary cap? Doesn't count, mate. It's not our brand.
Keeper.
Ah, okay then.
But made the call. Okay. Made the call. Hey, how's Joe Danaher going? Joe Danaher?
He's probably in the pool. But they were just great. Tommy McDonald, he was getting well held there for a little bit by Trengove, got switched out, Dale Morris, and then Jesse Hogan went full ham. So they've got a great balance there in the forward line, and then they've got the small forwards there. They've got Hannon, Fritch, Spargo, just they're all lining up to kick goals. So a great spread of goal kickers there. So maybe something the Bulldogs can take a leaf out of that book and play Shacky deep forward and rotate with Ruffy, Trengove, or Tom Boyd, because Shacky actually isn't playing too bad, I didn't think, on Saturday afternoon. Presented okay. The Saints, they're actually up and about and could upset a few teams after they come off their bye in a couple of weeks' time. They're playing some really good football. Tim Embry got the kicking boots back on again, just kicking it long and deep to him, and the small forwards are doing their job as well. So I can see them getting a few wins in the second half of the year. Now, when I saw the teams come out on Thursday night, Big Segs, Jonathan Segler was named for the Hawks. And when you see two ruckmen named in a team, you think, oh my God, that's just going to affect the other ruckman, as in Big Boy's score. But Big Boy said, get the hell out of my way. I'm the number one ruckman in this team, and went massive again. So he's having a good year, Big Boy, if you've got him, which I do, in our keeper league. Moving on now to our waiver wire pickups. And when we do talk about our waiver wire pickups, we use Ultimate Footy 65% or less ownership rule. And this week, I'm going to kick it off. I used him in my late week pickup, and that was Braden Maynard. Did have a quality first game against the Freo Dockers in 47% of teams this week. It's going to be a cracking match against the Demons on Queen's Birthday on Monday, so I expect him to do exactly what he did. He had a drive off half back there, even pushing forward as well. Really liked Braden Maynard's game this week. Number two is Ryan Griffin. We're going to see the AFL fantasy guys drop their DPP. What's the no deal? What's that all about?
You hate Ryan Griffin.
I think you're fine.
If he's a forward, I love him. He has been playing forward. He's in 40% of teams. They're playing the Gold Coast Suns this week. And the way they took apart the Adelaide Crows this week, if he gets a forward status, then I'm all about Ryan Griffin in that forward status. We'll get the time through the midfield. Stop doing that. It's just really annoying. And my next one, I think we're all going to have him. He's had two solid games since coming into the team for the Saints, and that's Logan Stone Cold Austin. 65% of ownership. That's probably going to rise after a back of the ton this week. They are playing the Swans, so we'll see how he goes against them. And my last one is actually Kieran Jack. In 59% of teams, he's actually got a pretty decent average against the Saints, where he's gone 80 in Dream Team and 83 in Supercoach. So if you're looking for a forward this week with the bye rounds, look for Kieran Jack to get you at least an 80. Steve, who are your waiver wire pickups?
Yeah, Brandon Maynard's interesting, isn't he, Jono? I know he scored well today. It's probably a good one. It's probably a good one. But I'm going to go with my number one is Ben Ainsworth. Still only 40% iron. It's just unbelievable. He lists as a forward. He's playing midfield. I expect him to average 80 Dream Team from here on out. I think he's just a fantastic pickup, and it might mean you can trade out someone with a bit bigger name, like we saw in our league this week. Luke Dalhouse, Jono, who's scoring like the proverbial scrub. Still like Blake Hardwick. It lists as a fender, 58% owned. I don't see any reason why he can't average
him. Hawthorn on the bye, dude.
I still think he's a good pickup.
Okay.
Why isn't he a good pickup? He averages 75.
I'm not saying he's not a good pickup, but you wouldn't be picking up this week with the buys coming through.
Well, it depends how my team's situated. Maybe you're not playing the buys.
Maybe not. That's true.
I still like... I actually wrote him up as an ad for the keepers, and that's Jai Simpkin. 18% owners of forward. I like him. He wins his own ball. He kicks goals. He gets run through the midfield. I think he's really talented player. No one watches North, so he's probably on you, probably hidden away there. Logan Austin, as Jono said, I think you can pick up Paul Ahern, midfield forward. And I've got a couple higher ownership guys who, the waiver wire is starting to get bigger as the injuries mount up. So we start to look a little bit higher ownership percentages. I've got Ryan Burton, back-to-back pretty good 90s. I mean, 73% ownership. I don't know what's happened. I'm not really a big Hawthorn watcher. Jack Sinclair, midfield, 74% owned. He's scoring really well. And I'd look at KK. I know he's 80% owned, but they're going to need some drive off half back if Aaron Hall's going to miss.
Yeah, don't mind it at all. Who have you got there, Cam?
You guys have actually covered pretty much everything. The only one's been called out many, many weeks in a row, almost. Ben Jacobs. So 63% ownership, and he's gone over 80 every week. And I don't know about your leagues, but my midfield's pretty bare. 85 is great for a D6 in my an M6 in my league. So that's it.
Yeah, I don't mind that when I'm looking for those M6, M7s, an 85 plus is what you're really looking for. But if you want to follow us on social media, I didn't do that at the start of the show, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33, at The Potato Bake, and STPorter15 as well. You can search The Draft Doctors on Facebook as well. We've got the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. And finally, the merch has dropped. If you want to buy a quality Draft Doctors t-shirt, you can head to spreezy.com/thedraftdoctors. Pick your size. There is only one color available at the moment, but it's a quality color in, what would you call it? What sort of gray would you call it, Steve?
Gray. Robbie gray? Gray? I'd call it Robbie gray.
Yeah. Four goals, Robbie gray. That's what you can call it.
Yeah.
And and if you want to download the show, you can find us on Stitcher, SoundCloud, and iTunes as well. Hit the 5-star like button and do leave us a review. We really appreciate it. But moving on now to the injury report. So this is going to go for about 45 minutes. So I'm going to go grab myself a beer.
Oh, goodness. So I'm going to just put my fingers on the injury report to start with, because they are completely torn apart. I've been typing madly about this week because there's just so many injuries. This I'm going to go through probably just a couple rapid fire. First one, Zaha, collarbone. Already mentioned it before. He suffered a suspected broken collarbone. At best, I reckon that's 4 to 6. We saw Alan or Bundy Christensen go out last year with a similar injury, and it pretty much wiped him out for a long time. So all the best for Zaha. He's been doing pretty well. Speaking of Bundy, Bundy Christensen got knocked completely out, and we had a ripper score of -3. For the people who chose to play him, and apologies to those on Twitter who recommended to play Alan Christensen, because it did not end too well for you. Aaron Hall, so again, he's gone down with a shoulder complaint. That's a bit tough for owners. He has gone down with a shoulder complaint a number of times over the last couple of years, and I think at one point he had surgery as well. So we'll see how that one plays out, but I would say a couple of weeks. John?
Does that mean we finally get to see the return of Michael Barlow, as they are going to need a midfielder in that team?
It would be good if they had at least one midfielder. And so I reckon Barlow, Lyons, both coming back in, and, you know, maybe Mr. Stank himself, Jesse Lonergan, will come in. Ugh. He's pretty stank.
He is.
So we'll move on to Jake Lever. So he's had a brilliant last couple of weeks. Unfortunately for him, he's probably ended his season. They're talking about a knee reconstruction, which will probably put him out until, after pre-season next year. So
yeah, he's confirmed, gone for a while. Confirmed today at ACL.
Ah, good one. I mean, not good one, but, it's a one, Jed Anderson. So the Goatson, as he likes to be called, is the he's womped his hammy, so he'll go down for probably a couple of weeks. He's on the bike for about half the game, and finished the game on the bike, so he'll definitely gone for a couple of weeks. And then the one that happened just as we were coming on to record the podcast, Cornelio. So Cornelio actually was KO'd, ruled out of the game. So I would not be surprised to see him miss a week. I always err on the side of cautions for concussion. I think players should always miss a week if they are pretty severely concussed. Look for him to be out for 1 week. And then I think they have to bye the week after. So they might get 2 weeks off. There are a bunch of other injuries, but I catch them all in the injury report, which should drop tomorrow.
Beautiful. Thanks for that. And Steve, what's your buy, sell, or hold for this week?
Yeah, well, I think it's really clear. I've got a couple of buys and just one sell. The sell is, actually mentioned, Jono, it did happen in our league this week with Luke Dalhouse being traded. I think he's a great trade because he's one of those players who's so easily replaced. He's currently an F4. Now, if you can't replace that on a week-to-week basis, I'll go he, but not all F4s have the name of Luke Dalhouse. Now, maybe you've got Tom T. Lynch, good personality. He's a good guy to sell as well. But I just think you can replace these guys so easily, Jono.
Yeah, you certainly can. Like, there's just been a plethora of forward options this year.
Yeah, but the brand name, the hashtag brand, the people see it and they remember when Luke Dalhouse was a good player. So that's fine. But the two buys, the players I think people should be targeting. One just got mentioned by Cam, and that's Jared Lyons. He just got dropped. Jared Lyons is a good player. He's often victim of crappy time on ground. He did get dropped. I think he's great because of that. Like, he'd been putting out a couple of bad scores, but he had a banger start of the year. Like, this guy can score and seriously score. So I think he'll come straight back in. You get him at a super, super discounted value. And don't forget, he doesn't actually have a buy. He's already played it. So that's pretty attractive as well. And the other one, I hated him. Said I wouldn't draft him this year. But now's the time to go trade for Michael Hibberd. Okay? Jake Lever, out of there. Okay, where Michael Hibberd made his hay last year was intercept possessions. Okay, that's why he was scoring so well. It wasn't because he was, getting all the handoffs. Michael Hibberd, good buy. Now's the time. You're getting him at the cheapest rate you'll ever find him. I think it's a great buy.
And drop Dan Hand.
Oh, Stang City. We had him ranked in the 50s coming into the year, Jono. 50s.
Re-rank on that one.
That was high.
Fizz, quick question, mate. What do you think of a buy on Ollie Wines? Already had his buy, and he's pretty... this is his worst average for years. He's on about 87 in AFL Fantasy.
He's probably not someone I'm targeting, just because there's so much uncertainty about the way Port Adelaide's midfield works. They've got so many guys who can actually win the ball. And Ollie Wines is actually one of those guys who never gets really good time on ground. He's sort of a mid-70s time on ground. So how does he build his score? He's not really a huge tackler. We know he doesn't kick many goals going forward. So to me, he's a guy without... I know he has scored 140, but it's not something he does regularly. So he's sort of an M4, M5. Yes. Yeah, he might be someone you can buy, but he's not someone I'd go, oh, I'm really targeting this player sort of thing. So I think it's fine, but it's probably not for me.
And with that, for his first appearance on the pod, we welcome Sam Porter giving us all the hot takes on the DPP changes for this round. Welcome to you.
Yes, thank you, and good evening, gentlemen. Great to finally get a Guernsey and having me on, so I appreciate the moment of shining time to get out here and tell you all about who's changed. And we've got that list from afl.com.au. It's hot off the presses. Come in. So there's quite a few. Most of them we've sort of gone over. A couple of surprises. We've got, your standard fluff, Oscar McInerney. He's getting forward, Paddy Dow, Chera from Freo, Holman as well, all forwards. And Jack Nunes, as we've talked about, been playing forward for St Kilda. And so he's now available to be picked up as a forward in AFL Fantasy. Johannesson, he's the other one. He's sort of been Bevo's slingshot man, playing back and now forward a bit. So he's a defender forward, pretty handy coverage. And few midfielders getting added in. So Christensen, which probably not much use to anyone now after he's been knocked down for -3. We might be able to find him on a few waiver wires now after he just gets rage dropped. Zach Fisher, been playing a bit of midfield time for Carlton. And Jed Gotterson, as he's become known now, has gotten the mid status playing that midfield role. So get him in there. Once he returns from his injury, hopefully not too long. Fritch from Melbourne, he's been a really nice one. He's getting midfield, so good coverage around the byes. He'll fit in for a solid 80 for you. Hooker now as well, coming in at defence. So Essendon have thrown him back. It worked for a few weeks. He's had a down couple, though. I don't know what's going on with Hooker. Have you guys seen much of Hooker the past 2 weeks? A couple 50s.
Playing more that lockdown defender and not getting that drive off out of defence. He was on Jeru on Saturday night, just wearing him like a glove, basically.
So Hurley's return, you'd think, might affect his scores there, but he's got the defender status now, so you've got the option to play him either side if you've sort of got a gap there. Jack Henry as well, so came in as forward. He's got defender status now, looking pretty good as an intercept player for Geelong, a young one. Probably a worthwhile in keepers to get on Jack Henry if you could, because he's looking like he could be a real talent. And also Crozier got the defender status, and probably got to apologise there because I put him up a bit, but now he's still stinking it up, not really getting much in that sort of doggies back line, not really doing much of anything. And Lewis Jetta, another one, just sort of floating about in the defence, not really contributing a whole lot, but no Ryan Griffin in the forward line just yet, I'm afraid.
Yeah, not too happy with that. Lewis Jetta, you know, as a defender, I don't mind that too bad at all. We know the West Coast Eagles have been pretty fantasy-friendly this year and played all right on the weekend. Hayden Crozier has just been non-existent. I don't think Bevo's worked out how to play him when you've got Bailey Williams, Johannesson and all the likes running through that back line. So maybe a stint down forward, which he was listed as, which we haven't seen him just yet, and see what his goal sense is like. Yeah, JJ playing as a forward. It's not bad coverage over the buyers there. I do like the Nunes one as a forward. He has been listed as the midfield only in Supercoach and Fantasy, but now the forward status comes along, so I don't mind that whatsoever. But the rest, yeah, pretty vanilla there for the rest of them, to be honest. So not too bad, but could have seen a Dusty or a Dangerfield just to really mix things up.
It would be nice if they could do that. And Bontempelli as well. I think Beveridge is just sort of toying with everyone now. He was playing forward quite a bit up against Melbourne, so it's once every sort of 2 or 3 weeks just to tease everyone about it, I think he's doing.
Yeah, I know. We might have to send out a tweet to Kingy and see what his heat maps and everything are like and see if we'll get a response from that. But no, don't mind that. That's not too bad of a job, even though they've had a pretty bad week, the Trader Boys this week. They've copped it thick and thin, so you might see a few trolls come out and say, where's Bont, Danger, or Martin? It's all a bit of banter from us with them guys. We love them to death. They've really helped us out over the journey.
Do you think actually Holman is a worthwhile pickup now that he's got forward status as coverage over the buyers? We know he's had his buy. He's actually put out some reasonable Dream Team scores. I don't think he's too bad of a pickup, actually, to be honest.
Yeah, he did have a bit of a lull there, and he has come back pretty strong. I think it was just the averaging 13 tackles a game wasn't sustainable, but he actually is getting more of the pill, which is good.
Well, the forward status, you don't need to average 100, though, so I don't know.
No, that's right. That's right. It's same with Jack Nunes. Like, he was a pure mid, now he got the forward status, so an 85-plus or 80-plus as a forward, pretty good there for me.
Yeah, and his last two as well, just to knock those off, but Port, 108, Cats, 88, not bad.
Yeah, there you go. You can't be hating on that.
No, absolutely not.
He's sort of a tall forward, I guess, in that regard, because he's drops the occasional stinker, but apart from that, like, he's just giving you the scores where you might have the occasional, you know, 30, which he's had two of.
And same with Henry, he's been a quality pickup. If he is there available in your keeper leagues, I'd be trying to get him quick sticks. He's been very impressive for the Cats since coming into that team. Well, that wraps up for the show for this week. We thank you, Sam, for coming on the show for your first Guernsey. Didn't quite snag the four goals like the debutante for Collingwood. His name escapes me, but we hope to have you on more regularly now that the Statesman has been suspended for, well, quite a few more weeks, we would imagine. So it's been good, just changing it up. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33, at The Potato Bake, and STPorter15. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, where we've got articles dropping Monday to Friday for your viewing pleasure. Thank you very much, and good luck in your matchups next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.